2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And then all of us together on verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And if you'll look at verse 5 right there, verse 5 is my text verse. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Keep your Bible open there, and let's pray, and then I'll preach. Father, thank you again this morning for your word. Please help us this morning. Lord, I can't change a life. I know that. I can't touch a heart. But I just pray that, please, Father, you would do what only you can do. And Lord, if somebody's here and they don't have the peace that they're your child, that they're on their way to heaven, I pray that, Lord, you would touch their heart and show them how simple what you've provided for us is if we'll just place our faith in you. We love you and need you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Because God's word is truth. You know, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? The world doesn't know what truth is. The Bible is truth. It's God's word. And it never changes. I only know what's right and what's wrong by what God's word tells me. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I'll say it again. I can only tell if somebody is lying or telling the truth because of what God's word says. This is the measure for truth. Truth can be known. I like the verse, Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The only way we can walk in light and not walk in darkness is by letting the truth of God's word guide us. The truth. I need to say this first of all this morning before preaching this message. If you're taking any psychotropic drugs or prescribed medicine for any mental chemical imbalance, please don't stop taking it because of this sermon. Many of those medications can hurt you if you are not helped off of them. In other words, many of them you can't just stop taking without tapering it, and you definitely don't want to just shut it off or you can hurt yourself if that's what you're on. Please don't let an action of faith destroy you or your family or somebody in your neighborhood. You understand? Okay, because of this. There are mental illnesses where the mind is broken, and because of its problem, it has to be and can only be dealt with by medicine. There are birth defects where somebody is chemically imbalanced, and then there is no way to help them except with medication. I understand that. If you're experiencing headaches because of how you've chosen to handle stress or muscle tension in your neck, or if you're having reoccurring headaches because all you eat is junk food, then aspirin or Tylenol will help your headache, but it will not solve the problem that's causing your headache. If you are medicating your... Everybody know Tylenol has only been around about 100 years. Aspirin came out first in the 1920s. and then Tylenol and Advil and all that stuff has been added to. What'd they do before aspirin? How did people make it? If you're medicating yourself so you can feel better or cope with a problem, then you need to realize you're not dealing with the problem. You're stopping short of what you should be doing. If you're getting headaches from eating junk food, then you should stop eating the junk food, not take medicine so you can eat more junk food. But that's what people do. Instead of changing the problem, they just medicate themselves and then they keep creating the problem. If you're getting headaches because your pillow is too large, then get a different pillow. Don't keep taking medication every day of your life so you don't have to deal with the problem. And that's what we find in our society. If you have emotional problems that you're medicating, but you have not dealt with the root cause of the problem biblically, or the way God tells you to deal with them, you have not yet given God the opportunity to prove himself to you. We're in a drug-crazed society. I am meeting more and more people who are on Prozac and antidepressants. They're putting kids and teenagers on Ritalin and mind-altering drugs in the school just so that they can control them. And we're ending up with a society of druggies. And it's getting worse and worse. If you've done all the things that God tells you to do, and your mind is broken, the scriptures or the Bible tells us how to help those who have a broken mind. God does say that. But if your mind is broken and your emotions are damaged and you won't let God repair what's damaged or broke you, that's on you. That's not God's fault. God does have the answers. Whether or not you put those into practice, that's your choice. I have never said, and I will never say as a pastor, that depression is sinful. I've never said that. But people who have given themselves over to a life of depression feel that anything but sympathy and agreement for their condition is an automatic rejection. God tells us in Philippians to rejoice, 1 Thessalonians and Philippians, to rejoice evermore because it helps us battle depression. How come we're supposed to work at being happy, being glad we're saved? Because it helps fight depression. And depression comes to everybody. There's no such thing as somebody that doesn't get depressed. It's just others entertain it more than others. But depression comes to everybody. It's mind-blowing that a person living in an air-conditioned, refrigerated, microwaved, fat on top of fat because we have so much to eat, convenience here in America, where even if you don't have any money, the government will steal money from people that work to give it to you so that you have everything you want in the world. The depression and suicide rate here in America is rising as our convenience level rises. It's like the easier life gets, we don't have to work like the pioneers did before. They made their own chairs, built their own house. All we do is we go to Walmart and get something made out of plastic. You know what I mean? If you need a chair, it's like the easier our life gets, so does the depression and the suicide. Depression and suicides have increased dramatically just in the last 50 years. Now they're saying this is the suicide rate. 19 out of every 100,000 Americans commit suicide, and in 2019, it is at an all-time high. Well, wait a second. You'd think with as much stuff as we've got, I mean, all of us rode here in a car this morning to church. Anybody walk? If you ever get tired of your car, just walk somewhere. You'll be thankful for it again. As easy as we have it, people are depressed. If you're depressed here in America, then it would probably be a great help to you to just take a trip to Guatemala or Haiti or Papua New Guinea so you can realize how much you have to praise the Lord for. Here in America, it's as good as it gets. And we can't be happy. People are struggling because they choose to focus on one hurtful thing in their life instead of all the things God has done for them. That is not being insensitive to people's problems. I personally, this morning, could be the most depressed person on earth if I chose. If I chose. If I wanted to focus on the things that have broken my heart and my life, and I know many of the things that have broken people's hearts in our church, I could focus on all those things, not look at whatever God's done, and just walk around depressed all the time. If I chose to. Jesus Christ gives us a choice. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This does not mean that every saved person is of a sound mind. When you trust Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is confident, the Holy Spirit is powerful, the Holy Spirit is loving, and He's of a sound mind. Therefore, child of God, as you yield to the Holy Spirit, He can help your mind, because you now have available to you the mind of Christ. But listen closely, all saved people don't have a sound mind, but they could if they wanted one, if they wanted. The world tells you, oh, you don't have a choice concerning your mindset. God says you have a choice if you're saved. Can you take your Bible and go to Romans? You have a choice. You can choose. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God says, if you want to be a Christian that walks in the flesh and does whatever yourself or your flesh wants to do, yeah, you're not going to be a happy person. But if you want to walk in the Holy Spirit and let God who lives in you control you, then God says, yeah, you won't feel condemned. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look down at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the options again. Every child of God has a choice. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh or self. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There it is again. You can either walk in the flesh and do what yourself wants to do, or you can walk in the Holy Spirit and do what the Spirit wants you to do. Watch this, verse 6. To be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Last verse, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So when you're doing what you want to do, because it's what you want to do and nobody tells you what to do, God says that doesn't please the Lord. I'm supposed to yield myself to the Lord if I want to make God happy and do what God made me to do, not what I want to do. Not what I want to do. When people say, oh, I was born this way, how you were raised or how you were born doesn't matter. You say, are you sure? Okay, listen closely. When a baby is born with a hole in its heart, we don't say, well, it was just born that way, it has to stay that way. They do what? They do surgery on the baby's heart, and they fill in the hole. So a birth defect, and the way, that's why, okay, how about this? When a baby is born with a cleft palate, the roof of the mouth is missing. Okay, some would call it a hair lip. We don't say, well, just leave the baby that way because it was born that way. Listen closely. Physical defects can be corrected, and also spiritual defects can be corrected. Just like physical defects can be. That's why it doesn't matter where you're from, or where you were raised, or how you were born. The only thing that matters is if you're saved, you have a choice. Don't blame it on God. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, Almighty God lives inside of you. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Lord has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So you don't need someone teaching you that your mind needs to be medicated. You need someone to help you to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit so you can access the peace of God in the mind of Christ. God approaches physical illness differently than mental illness. I could take you to Philippians 3:20, 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 14, verse 16, Romans 8, verses 21 to 23, and show you Now listen closely, because you only hear this in church. God does not promise us physical health in the New Testament. But you hear that nowadays. God wants to heal you. If God can heal, but God doesn't have to. God doesn't promise us physical health. God offers us deliverance from this body and its sufferings. That's why we long for heaven. But God does offer us the mind of Christ when we get saved. Go back over two books, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war or fight after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, you can't walk up and punch Satan in the nose. You can't pull out a sword and stab Satan. The warfare of a Christian is spiritual. And what we fight the spiritual warfare with is with spiritual weapons. That's why the book that's in your hands, if it's a King James Bible, is called a sword. That's spiritually what you fight Satan with. Not a shing, you know, not a physical sword. Prayer is what we use to fight the devil with. You can't kick the devil or punch the devil. All you can do is we have spiritual weapons. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God never tells you to get your cancer under control. God never commands you to get better when you get sick. God doesn't command us to have physical health. But listen closely, by that verse that we just read, God does command you to control your mind, every thought. Capture it and don't let your mind run wild. God does say, get control of your mind. Well, I just have these thoughts that come. I have thoughts that come to my head too, but you're not supposed to entertain the bad ones. Everybody has bad thoughts and good thoughts. God says, get control of your mind. I like what one person said. If a bad thought comes to your mind, just like a bird, shoo it away. Don't let it build a nest there and a home and then, you know, a roof and then a condominium and then... So there are thoughts that you're supposed to cast down or stop from building when your mind wants to go where it shouldn't go. There are external things that combat our mind and our thinking. Like when someone's playing bad music or cussing about things that they shouldn't, or talking about things that they, cussing or talking about things they shouldn't talk about. That's when our flesh says, well, you know, I think... Well, wait a second. That's when we're supposed to say, I don't care what I think. I don't care what I feel. I care what the Bible says. The Lord expects us to be the governor of every single thought in our mind. We're not supposed to surrender to our thoughts. We're to capture and conquer our thoughts. This morning, I want to show you a list of genuine mental problems that are in the Bible. That God says these are mental problems that are real, that can be dealt with. Take your Bible and go to Genesis 26. I love asking this question because I know the answer. Do you love your kids? Right? Do you want the best for your children? Right? Do you love Jesus this morning? Hope so. Right? Do you think Jesus is the best thing for your children? Yes. Can you make your children agree with you? No. If you're saved, you're a child of God. Now listen closely. That makes God your father. Does God make you agree with him? No. God is more powerful than you are. Does God make you do everything he wants you to do? It's your choice. It's your choice. If God isn't battling with 1,000 of his children, that's probably the biggest heartbreak of God. He's given us a book. He's told us what the answers are, and we won't do it. Well, if God's battling with his children doing right, then I think when us as parents are battling with our children doing right, is your sin God's fault? I hope not. Your sin is your choice. And many times with our kids, that's what we have to face as parents. We didn't make them choose that path. They chose it. Genesis chapter 26, this is the story of Esau, Jacob's brother. Look at verse 34. And Esau, Genesis 26, verse 34, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife two women here, Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bathshemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. So he takes two Hittite women for his wife. Notice the last verse, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. He married two women because he knew it would break his mom and dad's heart. I'll pick them to be my wife because I'm going to get back at my parents. And I've seen that happen modern day, but isn't that amazing that that's in the Bible? Esau was so angry at his mom and dad, he said, I'm going to marry somebody that'll wreck you. What a horrible attitude. Notice that it says, a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Grief is the word that we use that accompanies the loss of a loved one. So when Esau married these heathen women, it affected his mom and dad as though he had died. I don't know if you kids realize it or not, but if you marry the wrong person, that's what your parents go through. I've never met a mom and dad that didn't want every child happily married. So when dad says he's a punk, drop him, like a bad habit, drop him, girls. Well, he bought me a ring. That's your fault. You should never let a guy buy you anything except a hamburger, okay? He can buy you a hamburger, but not jewelry, because you got to understand how nasty guys are. Guys will get a girl obligated to him, and then they cash in. And a wise girl always says, I don't let a guy buy me jewelry until we're married, because I don't want to be obligated. That's wisdom. Here, Esau, he married these women in bitterness against his parents. He knew what it was going to do, and it broke their heart in a million pieces when he marries these two heathen girls. There are some here today whose children have broken your heart. There are some whose children have brought you shame. There are some people here who have to try not to dwell upon where your children are because it's just too painful to dwell upon. Isaac, Esau's parent, was not a bad parent. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, we won't this morning, but you'll find God mentions Isaac, Esau's dad, in the famous Hall of Faith. Isaac made God's Hall of Faith because he trusted God while his mind was grieved in a state of grief or loss over his child Isaac. Everybody catch that? So while his boy is breaking his heart, Isaac said, my boy may not be doing right, but I'm going to still trust God. And he trusted God to the point where God put him in the Bible. Amen? He had grief of mind. God never corrects Isaac or his wife over grieving over the choices that their grown son made. And listen, the Bible never criticizes for Isaac thinking this, my son's 40 years old, and look what he's doing. Isaac is thinking, I can't even invite my own son to a family reunion because these women will probably show up drunk or half naked or listening to bad music. You understand? He's thinking, I can't even invite my own boy to our family reunion because of what he's done. Yet, Isaac is trusting God. By faith, Isaac, Hebrews 11:20. This story teaches me it's possible to have your heart grieving while the majority of your heart is devoted to God as the Lord would intend you to. God doesn't tell us not to care or quit caring. God tells us to cast all of our care upon Him when our heart's breaking. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Go over to Deuteronomy now. Look at chapter 28, verse 1. Chapter 28. We're looking at mental illness this morning, and there are mental disorders or mental illness in the Bible. There are some of them that all of us are subject to. Grief of mind, like we just looked at, we're all subject to that. when we lose a loved one or somebody does something that breaks our heart, but we're not supposed to let it overtake us. Isaac did not quit life and say, my boy's broken my heart, done what brought shame to our family. That's it, I quit. He kept trusting God. He kept trusting God even though his boy was breaking his heart. Watch this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is one of the famous books in your Bible that talks about the first 14 verses mention, if you do this and obey me, I will bless you. But from verse 15 to 68, God says over and over again, but if you disobey me and you don't care about my word, then I will curse you this way, and I'll curse you this way, and I'll curse you this way. So Deuteronomy chapter 28 is one of the famous chapters in the Bible. Look at verse 1. Then it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I've commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now look at verse 15. That's the turning point of this chapter. Look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And it just goes curse after curse after curse till you get to verse 68. Now that you understand the breakdown of the chapter, look at verse 63. Now we're in the cursed section because you don't want to do what God says. You don't care about the Bible. God says this. Start at verse 65. Ready? And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. Notice verse 66. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night and shalt have none assurance of thy life. Look at verse 67. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Everybody see the end of verse 65? It says sorrow of mind, a fearful heart. This word is called anxiety or panic attacks. God says, when you don't care about my word and you don't care what I say and you're going to do whatever you want to do, God says, then one of the things that happens is you're just scared all the time. Before you let your shrink medicate you with mind-altering medicine, God says, this is how you feel when you spend years of your life disobeying God. Could I just ask as far as think with me, what does America expect? America is insane right now. Our country is going cuckoo. It's nutso. Think with me. There's a group of Muslims called ISIS. That is, they're Islamists who actually believe and try to live what the Quran commands. That's ISIS. They look at the decadence of our Western society and they say, we're going to kill you guys. You in the West, in America, are so wicked you deserve to die, and we're going to kill you. Watch, and they have verses in their Quran that tell them to do it. 35 verses to tell them to cut off our heads. So, they go to England, and some naked 20-year-old is dancing around on a stage in a bar. So, guess what some Muslim does? He goes in, sets off a bomb, and kills a bunch of people in that bar. The world answers, the way they answer it is they say, well, we're not going to be stopped by terrorism. So, guess what they do to combat that? They have another show. This time they put 20 people up on the stage that take their clothes off and dance so that they can prove they're not scared of terrorism. That's insane. Everybody remember when the bombing in France happened? Remember what they were saying? They said the same thing there. We're not going to let terrorism stop us. We're going to do this more. Why don't you take care of the terrorists? Wouldn't that make better sense? That type of thinking is insane. That type of thinking is weird. That is God giving a culture or America over to a reprobate mind. Let me give you another issue that I think proves our nation's insanity. Take the wall at the border. Everybody knows when you read the Bible, it's easy to see that God's for national barriers and boundaries. The issue about the wall is the media's hatred for President Trump. President Trump is not fear-mongering or manufacturing a crisis. Think about this. Pelosi and Schumer just 10 months ago gave $500 million to Jordan to build a wall. But he can't give our president money to build a wall here in America in between Mexico. That's kooky. Ocasio-Cortez said this week that illegal immigrants are more American than Trump supporters. That woman's got a screw loose and other issues. I don't think you should ask Pelosi or Schumer about the importance of a border wall. I think you should ask the border agents down there, those that are dealing with the problem, and you'll find out it is a real crisis. Listen to this, just a few numbers. 17,000 were arrested at the border in 2018 trying to come into America last year because they were already criminals. 17,000. How about this number? 29,000 were detained at the border in 2018 for illegally crossing the border. They said the amount of child pedophilia and trafficking of children. Does everybody know? I've heard three times this week, the biggest business in the world used to be drugs. It is now human trafficking. Does that not tell you how sick our world is? Guess what the biggest human trafficking nation in the world is? Saudi Arabia. Biggest. How come nobody's protesting against that? But the whole world's going nuts. Let's go back to the thought of the wall. The caravans were funded by Soros and sent here to overtake our nation economically, morally, and socially. I would call that a crisis. My opinion is this about the border wall. When the first family member in America was killed by an illegal immigrant, that was enough to seal the border and not let another person through, because it's not worth it. You say, well, Pastor, how many people are killed in America every year because of illegal immigrants? I looked it up. More than 10,000 each year are killed by illegal immigrants. Out of those people that are killed, and what I mean by killed is somebody like in a vehicle that's drunk, that isn't out to kill somebody, but they get in a car wreck and the other people die. Out of those 10,000 that are killed, 4,200 of them are murders by illegal aliens. We don't have a crisis. We have a crisis. Just think with me just for a second. As a Christian, it's easy to see in the Bible that heaven has a wall, it has a gate, and strict immigration policies. Amen? And just remember, hell, on the other hand, has totally open borders. Once again, the insanity that you're watching happen in our country oppose the wall between America and Mexico is God giving our culture over to a reprobate mind. When people think we need to just drink a Coke together and fornicate together and smoke pot together and then everything's going to be fine, that's insane. That is absolutely insane. God says the reason you're fearful when you woke up this morning is because you disobeyed me. The Bible teaches that. The reason you were afraid at night when you went to bed was because you disobeyed me. The violence in our land is because America is so full of sin. Let me use Deuteronomy 28. When someone says, I have fear that I can't control, or I'm having anxiety attacks, and I've heard this too before, I'm panicked all the time. My question as a pastor would be this: are you walking in obedience to the Word of God? When people become scared of life itself, it's because they've divorced themselves from the Bible and from God. If you have not addressed that, please do. Before you put all of your money in shrinks and psychologists and mind-altering medication, please give God a chance. If you're ill mentally, if you fear everything, rather than be a recluse from humanity, I'd like to recommend to you this morning, God's Word can help you. God says, Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How about Isaiah 41, 10? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's what a Christian's supposed to think. I know that obedience to God's commands are better than any Prozac or mind-altering drug. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 21, right in the middle of your Bible, right past Psalm. Everybody, there's a reason God tells you as a Christian, be sober. Be in control of your mind. That's 1 Peter chapter 5. Because you have an enemy, Satan, that is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. God says, keep control of your mind. Don't take drugs to mess it up. Stay away from the wrong music that'll mess it up. If you're listening to rock music or rap music or country music, it will destroy your mind. You cannot be a successful Christian and listen to that garbage. Let me just give you a hint. I'm absolutely shocked at how many people listen to Beyonce. She's a demon-possessed witch, and she plainly tells you that. Before I go on stage, I give myself over to the demons. That's not a preacher talking about Beyonce. That's Beyonce talking about Beyonce. She is a wicked, wicked. How anybody could listen to the words and go, well, what's wrong with her music? Really? I read the words to the, I looked up the lyrics to one of her songs. There's cuss words in it. What's a Christian doing listening to that filth? It's garbage. Has nothing to do with culture. Rock music will kill you. Country music will kill. Rap music is out of hell. All three of it. It's garbage. Get good music in your mind. God says, be sober. Be in control of your mind. Nobody should have control over you except God. People are addicted to music nowadays. Oh, I gotta have it. I mean, you'd think they were smoking or something. I don't know. But anyways, you can disagree with me on this if you want to. But when a defense attorney says, your honor, this man murdered his wife and his children, but he wasn't in his right mind when he did it. Really? So that's news to... You're right. He wasn't in his right mind. I don't care how he felt when he did it. He did it. Don't put him in jail. Execute him. When that woman drowned her babies in the bathtub, she wasn't in her right mind. But she can now go to jail for that and just let the American people pay for her miserable existence for the rest of her life. Do you know how much every person in prison costs America? $90,000 a year. I don't make $90,000 a year. I don't know too many people that do. But if you go to prison, you get to cost the American people $90,000 while they get three hots and a cot and the internet and a weight room. And I mean, the whole list goes on and on. I don't think it should be so comfortable in prison. I think less people would want to go there. Who needs to bring in an expert witness to know that these people aren't in the right mind? Every person who has ever molested a child is mentally ill. Every person who ever has ever dabbled in pornography has mental issues. Every person on this earth who takes another person's life is crazy. Some of them, it's been amazing to me. They had in the news last week, they put a man, executed a man who's been on death row for 30 years. Are you kidding me? So the guy murders somebody, needs to be put to death fairly soon, but he gets to live for 30 years at taxpayer expense? That's weird to me. That's kooky. Proverbs 21, verse 27. Notice the word mind. That's what we're looking at this morning. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? We now have a society where the judge and the attorneys and the jury and the family on both sides don't think murder is a sin anymore. You can no longer use the word sin in a courtroom or in any legal proceedings. If you use the word sin, then they think that you're there to judge the killer. Really? Yes, I'm there to judge the killer. And next time I'm asked to go to jury duty, I'm carrying my Bible. Amen? I'm going to walk in. It ain't going to be a small one. And did you know when you carry your Bible to jury duty, the last person they want in court is somebody that believes the Bible? It's the fastest way out. You believe the Bible? Yeah. What do you think of this course? I haven't heard him even talk, but fry him. Well, don't you want the jury? Fry him. Everything's best fried. chicken, fish, and criminals. Fry them. The television and the internet has raised generations of children who now see murder on a daily basis as entertainment. Listen to this. By the time a child is 18, they've seen 8,000 murders before they finish elementary school. And by the time they graduate from high school, they've seen 200,000 acts of violence, with 40,000 of them being murders.
And I just can't figure out how come our society is so violent.
Because they're programmed that way. They're being taught that. If you vex your soul with violence and perversion day after day, you're going to be mentally ill. You're going to have what the Bible calls in Proverbs 21 a wicked mind. The cure for a wicked mind is not psychotropic drugs or telling a shrink how you feel. The cure for a wicked mind is closing your mind to that filth. The cure to the wicked mind is washing the mind by the water of the Word of God. Getting your mind cleaned up by reading the Bible. Staying away from the filth on the television set and the filthy rock and rap music. Take your Bible and go to Daniel 5. Go to Daniel 5. Here in Daniel 5, Belshazzar has his last party in mockery of God. And he's told by Daniel about his father, King Nebuchadnezzar, and his insanity. So look at verse 20. It says here, "But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." Knew what? That his father had acted like an animal for 7 years, crawling on all fours because of his pride. His mind was hardened in pride. His pride destroyed his mind. When you talk to the homeless people, some, not all of them, but many of them are so proud when you ask them. When you ask them what's going on, it's normally, you know, they'll tell you it's their family's fault, they'll tell you it's their spouse's fault, or it's a church's fault, or it's society's fault, and it's never their fault. It's everybody's fault but theirs. And when you try to quote the Bible to them, they say, "I don't want to hear that blankety-blank stuff." Look, if you're in America where people get free housing, free food, free phones, and you're living in the woods, you're messed up, you're mentally ill. But God says they aren't mentally ill, not because the government didn't give them enough food stamps or Obama didn't give them a phone. They are mentally ill because their mind is hardened in pride. And there's no need to humble themselves before God and obey His word. Look, could you ever bring yourself to realize that God wants your attention, but maybe you're too proud to give it to Him? There's many people in our area who are mentally ill and will be until the day they die because their brains are fried from illegal drug usage or overexposure to those drugs. I have sympathy for that. But no one should blame God or society because someone smoked, snorted, drank, or injected, or absorbed, or swallowed things that destroyed their mind. There is some responsibility on their part for their condition, and it is not with God. They need to admit, "I did this to myself." Now, I've told you, God tells you, make sure you stay in control of your mind. God tells us that there are those that are genuinely mentally ill, and then there are other people who are that way because they live in rebellion against God. Look at Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 to 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That would deal with your mind, right? And their foolish heart was darkened. Do remember, in your Bible, heart and mind are interchangeable. The biblical heart is the mind. All right, so that might help you. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So when you give yourself to things other than God, and you let idolatry in your life, then it will erode you mentally. Look at verse 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So listen closely. I'm just reading the Bible and we're trying to draw some conclusions. We're going to see here, Romans chapter 1 describes mentally ill people because of their rebellion against God. We read verse 23, if you pray or talk to a rock, you're mentally ill. If you carve that rock into a statue and pray to it, it's no different. If you saw someone talking to a statue as if it's alive in the park, you'd think they were insane. But if they do it in a church, people say they're deeply religious. No. That is mental. God says, verse 23, God says that's mental illness. Their heart or mind has been darkened. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart. Look, when God gives up on you, God doesn't give up on anybody. That's not what Romans 1 says. Through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them up to immorality. So the idolatry led to immorality. Look at verse 26. For this cause, here we go, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now we get into the verses. They went from idolatry to immorality. Now they're going into homosexuality. Look at verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's the third time in that chapter where God gives them up. Here, this is the last stage. Now they're a reprobate. God doesn't make immoral people. God doesn't make homosexuals. God doesn't make pedophiles or transgenders. God does not make reprobates. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, and man's rebellion against God destroys his mind. Men become perverts and think wicked thoughts because they push God out of their mind because they don't want God and what God has to offer. God says the way to fix it is to let God back into your life and back into your thinking. When you do that, those who have been given over to a reprobate mind, then they start calling you mentally ill because you don't join in with them and support them in their actions. When you I just want to tell you, when you love the Lord and you love His Word, you're normal. You're normal. They are the unnormal ones. When you don't love God and you believe you came from a monkey and live like an animal, you become mentally ill. Our nation says it's okay for two men to get married. Our nation is given over to a reprobate mind. And from that point on, our society has been getting crazier and crazier and more mentally ill. Now, the answer has always been the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Psalm 107, verse 17. Look at verse number 17. We have a problem in America. It's a bad problem. God has the answers, but you're watching your nation go insane. Take any problem you want. It amazes me. You as a Christian should have the answer. Look at Psalm 107. Look at verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Watch verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I can't get the filthy rock music out of my head that I have in it before I got saved. There's things I cannot get out of my mind, but God says if I'll read His word, He can heal my mind. What goes in the computer never leaves. You need to be careful what you look at. You need to be careful what you listen to. But if you've listened to bad things or looked at bad things, Psalm 107 says, if you'll read the Bible, God says, I can heal your mind. That's been my hope. And can I tell you something? The images, they have not left, but I can override them with the Bible. You ought to have the Bible playing in your house. Amen. You ought to read it every day. Let's look at one more verse about what to do. Go in the New Testament to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And watch this. We'll close with this. We'll stop with this. There's how the world says you ought to live, and then there's how the Bible says you ought to live. And God says, you need to be careful what you let in your mind. And if bad things come up, God says, bring into captivity every thought. Don't dwell on that. Don't think that way. Don't follow that thought to the end. Get that thought out of your head. You're supposed to take control. Oh, I just can't help it. That's garbage. It's a choice. It's a choice if you're saved. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Ready? In the New Testament here, watch this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says His peace keeps or guards your heart and your mind. In other words, I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray. Give my request to God. I'm not supposed to, anything I'm scared about, I'm supposed to give to God. Well, God, I'm scared about, then give it to the Lord. Don't have an ulcer over it. Let the peace of God guard your mind. Can we read verse? I'll read verse 8 to you and then we'll close. Ready? Verse 8. Watch this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, notice this list, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. There's God's checklist for a safe thing, things to dwell on. If it doesn't meet true, pure, lovely, honest, of good report, then quit thinking about it. As a Christian, God says, you ought to have a checklist. There's things I don't let my mind dwell on. I'm not gonna focus on that. You say, why? Because God tells me how to have a healthy mind. And God tells you how to have a healthy mind. The name of the sermon this morning is Bringing into Captivity Every Thought. and I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for the truth. Please, Lord, when the rest of our country is destroying itself, Lord, help us as your people in our homes. Help us to think right. And Lord, where we need to let you heal our minds, help us to make a decision to stop the filth.